Will you please join me in the act of praise, Psalm 25, verses 1 through 10. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul.
O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me.
Let none that wait for you be put to shame.
Let them be ashamed who are clothed with treachery.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord.
Teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth and teach me.
For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long.
Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old.
Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me. For the sake of your goodness, O Lord.
Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, the Lord instructs sinners in the way and leads the humble in what is right and teaches them their way.
All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep the Lord's covenant and testimonies.
Would you please stand with us this morning and sing number 196, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus.
It is not true that creation and the human family are doomed to destruction and loss.
This is true, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
It is not true that we must accept inhumanity and discrimination, hunger and poverty, death and destruction.
This is true. I have come that they may have life, and that abundantly.
It is not true that violence and hatred should have the last word and that war and destruction rule forever.
This is true. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting, the Prince of Peace.
It is not true that we are simply victims of the powers of evil who seek to rule the world.
This is true. To me is given authority in heaven and on earth, and lo, I am with you, even until the end of the world.
It is not true that we have to wait for those who are specially gifted, who are the prophets of the church, before we can be peacemakers.
This is true. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall have dreams.
It is not true that our hopes for liberation of humankind, of justice, of human dignity, of peace, are not meant for this earth and for this history.
This is true. The hour comes, and it is now, that the true worshipers shall worship God in spirit and in truth. So let us enter Advent in hope, even hope against hope. Let us see visions of love and peace and justice. Let us affirm with humility, with joy, with faith, with courage, Jesus Christ, the life of the world.
I invite you to stand as we affirm our faith together on this first Sunday in Advent, and we light the candle of hope. Our affirmation is number 885. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is the one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit, as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love, as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Seated. As we come to our time of prayer together, let us express our prayer requests as an intention of hope. What is your intention of hope? I hope that our camp in the community impacts the community of Rockwood for Jesus this summer. Thank you, Todd Shelton, colon cancer. Okay. For little Bailey, she's got to go to Nashville Wednesday for some more tests, and she had a seizure.
They're trying to find out what's causing these seizures. Okay.
In your prayers, she fell and had broken her wrist, and she was doing rehab at the nursing home. She's home now, and she says she's ready for Christmas dinner. So, so thank you for your prayers. We all appreciate it.
Amen. Well, the God of hope hears our prayers. The God of hope is so close to us and desires for us to be close. So with confidence and boldness, let us approach God's throne of grace in prayer. Let us pray. Here we are, God, in this first Sunday of the Christian New Year, a Sunday your church has proclaimed and named Hope. And so, God, it is with hope that we come to you this morning. It is with hope that we lift up Todd Shelton and this cancer that is invading his body. And with hope, pray for healing, for mercy on him. It is with hope that we lift up little Bailey. And in hope, intend for doctors and nurses and all who tend to her to find the cause and cure for what is ailing her. It's in hope that we praise you that Kathleen is well and at home, and that you are providing ways for us through partnerships with other churches to be in ministry in this community. God, in our day-to-day lives, we do fall to despair. It's called being human, and you know that because you were human among us, and even you despaired. So help us in all things, in the midst of all emotions and life circumstances, to continue to cling to you and to find hope that you suffered, that you wept, that you laughed and you rejoiced. And help us to cling to your ultimate hope in Jesus Christ and his resurrection and his coming again in glory, that you and your word get the last word. You taught us to pray with confidence as your children, and so we do that now, praying the prayer Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As our ushers come forward and we prepare to give a portion of what's been given to us, you know, it's a rather dull proposition to give to a budget. And I know you all faithfully do that, but I hope that you can remember that the budget is just a representation of the larger presence of Christ in this community exhibited through this church. Let us, as we give our offerings of money, also offer our prayers for the impact that God would have us make in Rockwood. Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, you are always at work through us and in spite of us and behind the scenes. We grasp and claim that work through these gifts Bless them and bless these who give, that we might change this world in this corner of it for Jesus. Amen.
Remain standing and sing with us number 211, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel.
Jesse's tree, an ensign of thy
seated.
Our scripture lesson this morning is from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 21, verses 25 through 36. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. The people will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, help us to gain clarity about this word, your word. Breathe new life into it. I ask that your Holy Spirit will mingle between my lips and your hearers' ears, that their hearts might be touched and lives transformed. I ask that you speak through me, and if not through me, speak in spite of me. But let your word be heard and proclaimed for the sake of Jesus. Amen. Well, whose idea was this to preach on this passage this Sunday morning? We have a saying in our family that got passed down from my husband's dad. If you mess up or make a mistake or cause something unpleasant to happen in your life, we say, well, you did it to yourself. Well, I did it to myself. Judgment, terrors, cosmic signs of the end times. This might seem like a very strange way to begin the season of Advent. After all, Advent's this time to prepare, right? We prepare our hearts in anticipation for the birth of the Christ child. We prepare our homes. Yesterday, we took Wesley to choose a Christmas tree, and oh man, did that child take that task seriously. He took off running through the little grove of trees and did not ask for feedback, did not ask us what we thought. So not that one, not that one. This one, with confidence and boldness, and chose our tree. And then we came home and I made cookies and hung the ornaments and we prepared our home, and now it looks Christmassy. So how can this apocalyptic end time prophecy of Jesus coming with power and great glory introduce annual Christian commemoration of Jesus coming as a helpless infant? Instead of armies and angels, as we have in the birth narrative, we hear of Jerusalem surrounded by human armies bringing desolation. During Advent, we celebrate God with us, the Emmanuel who comes to the world. So why this talk of fear and foreboding of what is coming to the world? We start in this text with paradox, staring paradox right in the face. We start this season of Advent with this text that brings several paradoxes into our view. The signs that will signal the return of the risen Jesus, juxtaposed with the sign that is Jesus, the baby Jesus himself. The power and glory on the one hand, the humility and helplessness on the other. A warning that the nations will be distressed and anxious, set alongside a message of good news, of great joy for all people. Confusion. Nay. We must remember that ours is a God of clarity and not chaos. Ours is a God who brings good news, not bad news. We are preparing, after all, to hear the announcement that Mary will hear. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy. So what do we do with all these paradoxes? As we move into the Christmas season, Jesus, in this good news from Luke, presents a challenge. That challenge is there's more going on than meets the eye. The challenge is that there's more going on than buying presents and putting up a tree and baking cookies. There's more going on than just trying to make our houses smell like pine trees and cinnamon. There is so much more for you and I in this season if we will avail ourselves of its gifts. Let the strangeness of being a Christian really get a hold of you this Advent. Jesus' challenge to us is to not get so single-focused on over-preparing for Christmas that we forget that God's vision for the world is in God's control. And it's a vision born, pun intended, out of paradox. God's vision comes in paradox. It's bigger than either or thinking. Either Jesus is a baby or a glorified Savior. It's both and. God's vision is bigger than either or thinking can allow. And what is at stake is the coming of the kingdom of heaven, not only in the future, but among us. Jesus reminds us that the kingdom of heaven is paradoxically both already and not yet. And Christians are weirdos. Christians are weirdos to those who look on. Christians deal in paradox. We live in a both and, not an either or state of being. The infant Jesus is more than just a baby born in a manger. He's also a Savior who is Christ the Lord, both infant and Savior. Christians are weirdos. We operate in a different time zone. So Happy New Year. This first Sunday of Advent signals the first day of the Christian year that follows Jesus's the expectation and waiting for Jesus' birth and his birth, and then throughout the lectionary, throughout the Christian year, will follow Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, culminating on Christ the King Sunday. The first Sunday of the Christian year, we experience time arranged and organized around Jesus. We, as Christians, are invited to do time differently, to follow a different calendar, to follow Jesus, and to live according to a different time zone. Have you ever flown and been in a different time zone? I know some of you do that regularly. I had the privilege of flying to China once, and I was wide awake in the middle of the night when everyone else was asleep. And I didn't want to bother my roommate, and I remember going and laying down in the bathtub and reading because I was wide awake. I was off from the rest of the people in that town of Beijing. And that's exactly what we're reminded of as Christians when we follow Jesus. We're in a different time zone. And not only a different time zone, but we're just going to be at odds with local time. We're going to be awake when others are asleep. But it has more to do with just being awake and sleeping. It's about what music we hear. What tune do we dance to? Friedrich Nietzsche said, "And those who were seen dancing were thought to be insane by those who could not hear the music." Weirdos. Advent is a good time to be reminded that when we follow Jesus, we often dance to a tune that some people just can't hear. When we operate according to a different time zone, we may thought to be a little insane, and we may even have to dance alone. I recently watched a little, like, 3-minute TED talk about how to start a social movement. I don't know if you've seen it. It's so funny to watch. It opens the scene. Well, the guy is on a stage, and he's got a video behind him, and the video shows this grassy slope with a lot of people. It's like a bright, sunny day, and everybody's sitting down except this one lone guy who's wearing shorts, no shirt, and he's just dancing. And you don't hear any audio from the video that's behind him. So you don't know if there's music or not. You just see this shirtless guy dancing like this. And the person giving the lecture is talking about, then, you know, is he a leader or is he crazy? Well, this first person appears like a weirdo, insane, crazy. But then that first follower gets up. One person gets up and they start dancing. And then they start inviting their friends that they're with. And then pretty soon three more come and join. And then pretty soon a whole group comes and joins. And pretty soon everybody's up and dancing together. That's kind of like our calling as Christians. Advent is inviting us to tune our ears to the music of Jesus. New year, new beginning, new time, just like in Lent, to reflect on what does it really mean to follow Jesus. When we walk into the church, we see something's up. It looks different than the rest of the year. Something special is happening. The word Advent means coming, and the something special is that season of preparation for the coming of Jesus. And we Christians then become countercultural, because the culture thinks it's all Christmas, starting back before Halloween. It's all about Christmas. How do you know the difference between a preacher that's fresh out of seminary and a preacher that's been around the block doing it for a while? Are you singing Christmas hymns during January? When I was first out of seminary, we were not going to sing Christmas carols in Advent, because this is Advent and this is about waiting. And it, after 20 plus years in it, I'm like, oh my gosh, not going to fight that battle. Yes, I love Christmas songs. Let's sing Christmas songs in Advent. But the bigger picture is all about calling us back to remembering that we're weirdos. We who follow Christ, we operate in preparation. But preacher, if we're in Advent, why are we reading about the second coming of Jesus? I mean, I get this birth preparation stuff. I mean, we all know, we've been there, we've seen it close up, right? When somebody's getting ready to have a baby and they got that baby registry. I have a friend who just had a baby, and her registry included a special rug and special new comforter and special fancy cloth diapers that cost $25 a piece, and you know. Anyway, I won't tell you what my older daughter said. But okay, it's funny. She said, wait till the baby poops on that expensive diaper. So, preacher, why are we reading about the second coming during this special time preparing for a baby? I'm so glad you asked. The second coming refers to that day in the future when, as we read about in Luke, when Christ returns to earth and people and nations will be judged. It's called the Day of the Lord, and it will separate the sheep from the goats. And the Apostles' Creed talks about it. On the third day he rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. So again, we have paradox. On the first Sunday of Advent, we read about Jesus' return, because Advent is about preparing for the first and second coming. And it's that second coming that really makes us kind of get that wake-up call. It's why Jesus says, don't be caught in a trap, be awake. Because it's that second coming. The first coming is fun. We buy diapers. We decorate the nursery. We have the sweet little vulnerable baby coming. The second coming? People are going to faint from fear. The second coming. Watch and be awake. Therein lies the urgency and importance of Advent. Singing Christmas carols or Advent tunes aside, use this time to reflect, to prepare. Just like when a new baby arrives in your life, it changes your life with a new schedule and a new priority, new frustrations and new love. The infant changes our way of living. The prospect and the waiting for the second coming is supposed to change our way of living as well. One of the greatest proclamations of this Advent season is hope. And we had a series on hope. Hope, as defined in the Christian church, is a confident expectation that God's promises will be fulfilled. Because God has promised and fulfilled in the past, God will in the future. Hope matters. Hope makes it possible to live in these between times, to live not knowing when the second coming is going to take place. And hope is what we have to help us reflect and live and see what needs changing so that we're not caught when that day comes. Just because we're singing songs, Christmas songs in Advent, doesn't mean I have surrendered to the culture that says it's Christmas. Advent matters. It can be a great, great season of spiritual growth if you'll dive deeply into it and live boldly into it. Dance and look a little weird. Why? Why does this matter? Why does it matter that we dance to a tune that others can't hear? Because maybe they need to be tuned into it. Why? Why do we need to dive deeply into Advent so that we can be hope for the world? Carry Jesus, who is the hope of the world, to others. Because people need to hear the good news that God will bring justice in the end, because God brought justice in Jesus. God became a human, pitched a tent, lived with humans to set things right. There's a great story I heard the other day reflecting on if you're a parent, what you told your little child. You know, every little child sometimes has this inkling about running away from home. I'm talking about little children, okay? And what over time has been the expert advice about what you tell children? Now, Anna, my oldest, when she was probably 3 and a half-ish, she went and got her, what she called her pack suit. That meant suitcase. And she packed her, you know, dollies and a pink baby and special things in it. And I said, "Where are you going?" She says, "I'm going on an adventure hike." I said, "Well, can I come with you?" "I guess so." And the advice over the years, she wasn't running away, but the advice over the years has morphed, has changed from asking a child what they might need to help bring them around to "this might not be a good idea," to saying outright, "No, no. You don't run away. You belong here. You belong here because we're a family. We're a family, and we're not a whole family without you." That's exactly what God did in the incarnation. People kept trying to run away from God or losing track of what it meant to be in right relationship with God. And God said, in sending the infant Jesus, "No, you can't run away from me. I'm sending love. I'm sending myself, because you and I, we're family. We're family, and this family isn't whole if we're not connected." I think that's a word somebody might need to hear. I just scrapped the rest of the sermon. I think that's a word. Can you believe that about yourself? God says no to your desire to run from God, I invite you to examine that and reflect on it. It's hard because it's intimate stuff. It's deep stuff. Letting God in, letting God get close, it's going to change things. But it'll change things for the better. It'll help us live hopefully and confidently and boldly and weirdly in these between times so that when the second coming happens, we're ready. And not only that, we have lived in such a way as to help others be ready as well. Will you accept that challenge in the name of God, who is Father, who is Son, and who is Holy Spirit? Amen.
Hail to the Lord's anointed.
All you meet. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.